Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Most people think of the ROI on investing in real estate as purely numbers, but there's so much more to it than that. Today, we're going to talk about a way for you to find an investment property that pays you to own it, that you can also spend time and enjoy. We call that lifestyle investing. We'll talk about that today, and we've got a great guest on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Hi, I'm Brad Sumrock. At this year's AIM-NACON, you'll find out why apartments have been and continue to be the hottest sector for real estate investing and why more and more people are moving their money out of Wall Street into real estate, specifically apartment buildings. Plus, with the new tax laws, learn how owning and investing in apartments are even more attractive right now in 2019. Learn from some of the best speakers and investors in the country. Gain access to industry experts and service providers from all over the USA that can help you earn more money and pay less taxes. Meet and network with hundreds of other apartment investors and other like-minded individuals. So whether you are new to investing or already an experienced apartment owner that wants to go bigger and faster, this conference is definitely for you. I'll see you there.
Join Robert Kiyosaki, Harry Dent, Tom Wheelwright, the Apartment King, Brad Sumrock, and the Real Estate Guys at the second annual Apartment Investor Mastery National Conference. It takes place Saturday, August 10th in Dallas, Texas. For all the details, send an email to aimnatcon, that's AIMNATCON, at realestateguysradio.com. aimnatcon at realestateguysradio.com. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, co-host financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
We're in Las Vegas, Nevada, one of the markets we come to quite regularly. And in fact, this is a convention town. This is a vacation town. This is a crazy town.
It's a fun place to come, and there's lots of places to stay. And that makes it very convenient for people who want to visit.
Well, and that's what we're going to talk about today, this idea of lifestyle investing. And we've talked about this before, but it's a critical topic for several reasons. One, when most people invest in real estate, they don't think about living in the house that they would choose as a rental. And yet many, many people own property today that they once lived in. They couldn't sell their house. When they bought another house, they said, well, we'll just rent it out, or we're going to, you know, move for a couple years. We may want to move back, so we'll just rent the house while we're gone. And so lots and lots of people listening to this show have property that they could and maybe have and will again live in. But right now, it's a rental property. Other folks strategically pick markets and properties that make sense for a non-personal use. What lifestyle investing does is it kind of blurs the line. It bridges the gap. You find a property that you would love to go spend time in, either on a, you know, occasional basis, or maybe every year at the same time, or your sabbatical, or eventually maybe you want to retire there. And in the meantime, it creates production of income. And this is a great market to be in to have this discussion, because in Las Vegas, there's all kinds of places that people come and stay. There's the big hotels like we're in with more than 1,000 rooms. And a lot of people come here and they go to the shows and they go to the strip and they have a great time. Then there's folks who don't want to do that. They want to be on the outskirts where they can go hiking and see some of the natural wilderness here, and hopefully not in the middle of summer, right? But, you know, go to the lakes and have that experience. And then there's people that own vacation rentals and they put them out on HomeAway or VRBO or Airbnb, where they can participate in the revenue that comes from people visiting a place.
Yeah, well, if you think about the timeshare model, it captures those people who are on vacation, who like going on vacation, and captures their interest in making an investment in that. The problem is, from a fundamental financial model perspective, it's not really an investment and maybe not even a good use of money. It's great for the timeshare operator, the timeshare seller, who's after the inventory and can monetize it substantially through the model. But there are other ways to get there. I mean, ultimately what you're saying, Robert, and I totally agree, is that there is an instinctive desire for people to own property and to own the kind of property they would like to use. Most of us are investing in rental properties for the purpose of creating wealth so that we can spend that wealth somewhere that we enjoy. And with the concept of lifestyle investing, you're merging the two together, and you're buying the asset that you would actually like to enjoy yourself. And instead of paying for its use, you organize it so it pays you to own it.
Yeah, this is a critical point. And don't just think you have to buy a lifestyle property and go visit it, because there's a lot of other reasons that make sense, one of which is the multipliers involved in the rent. You know, if you've got a rental that it's renting for $600 a month somewhere, that means basically your tenant has to come up with $20 a day to stay in your rental home. Well, here people are paying $100, $200, $600 a night. You start to do that math and the numbers get really good.
Yeah, and this is a market that's a little subsidized because the hotel operators have a lot of other ways to make money. In markets that aren't like this, where the hotel is the feature, the pricing can be even better. Or sometimes it's an amenity that really doesn't cost, like a beach. It's hard to put in a beach as an amenity, but if you have waterfront property or you're in a unique location in terms of weather, or there's some other large amenity.
You're at the base of a ski resort.
Yeah, exactly. Something that somebody else has put in that you didn't have to put in. Your property can become more valuable simply by proximity to that large amenity.
So here's where I want to go with this discussion today. There's a couple of ways to approach it. And the first is, if there's a place you've thought about having as a second home because you like to ski or you like to sail or you like to fish or you like to hang on the beach, then perhaps that could be the type of location that will work as an investment property. Most of us go to a market we don't know and we stay in a hotel and we spend a lot of money and we go, oh, that was interesting. If you find a market that you like and want to return to, then there's perhaps the opportunity to say, you know, let's get a place because we'll come every, you know, couple of months, or we'll come twice a year, or when we get older, we'll come more often. So you think that way about it. And then you overlay that with what can the production of income look like on a property like this? Now, there's a different income structure typically on an overnight rental property than there is on a house that you're going to rent. You can imagine that whatever you pay your property manager on a single family home, it's what, 6%, 8%, 12%, 2.5%, depends on the market and the property. You're paying that property manager to manage the tenants, interface with them, get a good tenant in, collect the rents, take care of the property and so forth, and that's what you're paying that fee for. But your tenant typically only moves once a year. In this part of the business, your tenant could move every other night, and therefore management becomes a lot more expensive on a percentage basis.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, you're paying to have a hands-off experience, and you need to create a service level that is consistent with the demographic you're looking to attract. And one of the beautiful things about this niche is you're marketing to affluent people. You have customers who aren't necessarily as burdened when economic times turn backwards. So if there's a recession or there's hyperinflation or even modest inflation, people that are living paycheck to paycheck, you know, either getting laid off and don't have any savings or access to very much credit, or they're employed but their cost of living is going up because things like gas and health care and whatever else, cars and everything that they need in life costs, and they're not getting a wealth effect on their balance sheet. So from that standpoint, when you're talking about rental property, we've been big fans for a long time of the idea of being in the middle price zone, being in affordable markets, not being the highest property in the highest price point in a given market, but have some people above you in good times that can move down. But if you think about who you're marketing to when you go to market a resort property, you're talking about somebody that has some means. They either have great jobs with more stability, have great credit, great savings. They have things on their balance sheet, so as things inflate, they're the beneficiary, or they're already independently wealthy and they're traveling for pleasure and enjoyment, whether they're baby boomers that have retired or just people that have hit it big and have made a lot of money. So, you know, when you think about that, the idea that you've got to have great property management, you've got to deliver a great experience to compete for that customer, it's worth paying the premium, because it doesn't really matter what the components of cost are. What matters is when you put it all in the blender and you shake it all the way down to the bottom line, is it profitable to own? And I think, you know, when you do an analysis on this stuff, many, many properties are.
Now, you do have to be careful, because there are, just like they are in your typical single family home markets, there are certainly markets that are more prone to react under different economic situations. You know, you talked about the wealthy. The uber wealthy are not affected at all, and they go on vacation no matter what's happening in the economy. We saw that happen in the last recession. Still, I always talk about in the Bahamas, there's a resort that has this beautiful suite across a bridge of two towers. They call it the Bridge Suite, and it rents for more than $10,000 a night. And, you know, I would always think, well, there's no one. That's empty all the time. There's no one there. Well, in fact, it's exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
There is always someone who will pay for the penthouse. There is always someone who wants the very best unit.
And you don't need very many of them. I mean, if you look at, especially if you have an international destination, it depends on the nature of the property, but if you've got a property that's pulling people from all over, that's another thing that's great about resort property, because when you look at people who are using resort property, they're typically tourists. They're coming in from out of area. If you compare that to an apartment building that you own, you're renting to local people and you're making a bet on that local economy. The rest of the world's economy could be great, but if a major employer moves out or if there's some change in legislation or whatever that makes that environment unfriendly and jobs leave for whatever reason, it's more difficult for you as an apartment owner. Whereas if you've got a great resort property and it's got an amenity that attracts people from all over the world, you've got a bigger marketplace and you don't have to be quite as spot on with the local economy as much as you've just got to make sure that you have something that's going to attract people. And to your point, when you've got a really unique property, when you've got something special or you're attached to something that's special, you're going to attract people from all over the world, and there's always going to be people that are willing to pay top dollar to have that experience.
Well, and there's another part of that. It's not just the uber wealthy. There are folks who will save all year to take that fabulous vacation. So maybe they save at home, they don't have a latte every day, they are watching TV instead of going to the movies, but when it's time to go on vacation, oh my gosh, they want to have a good time.
Well, so that's interesting, because you think about these resort properties that cater to families, and you think, oh my gosh, you know, in tough economic times, it would be tough. Well, first of all, affluent people have children too.
Yes.
But as a guy that raised a bunch of children, wasn't super affluent at the time I was doing it, what I discovered is there's a mindset, and the mindset is, I only have these children with me for a season. I only have so many summer vacations. I only have so many opportunities to enjoy this time of my life. And so I was willing to sacrifice some of my even long-term retirement type savings in order to enjoy that time with my children then. So it's not quite up there with like a residential assisted living facility in terms of the priority ladder. I probably would cut my vacation off before I wouldn't pay for my mom or dad's care. But it's pretty high up the list if you think about it. Now, again, people that are struggling financially raising their families, yes, they're going to get pushed off the back of the bus. But I do think people that are a little bit on the bubble probably are still going to be inclined to sacrifice to have a chance to have that opportunity, because they know that that season in life only comes and it doesn't last long.
We're talking about lifestyle investing. Can you invest in a resort property that you can use for the benefit of and enjoy and create family legacy and still make money? We'll have more when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Hi there, this is Danielle DiMartino Booth, author of Fed Up, an insider's take on why the Federal Reserve is bad for America, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio show, live from Las Vegas, Nevada this week. Hey, if you've ever wanted to do bigger deals using other people's money, then come on out to The Secrets of Successful Syndication. You can learn how to be a syndicator or invest as a passive investor in a syndication. All the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com. The Secrets of Successful Syndication takes place the last weekend of September in Dallas, Texas.
Hey, if I can digress just a minute, Robert, since you brought up syndication, this is a great product type to syndicate. And it doesn't have to be like I'm an investment company and I'm doing this big formal syndication. Think of it this way. Let's say you have enough money, maybe $500,000, that you would be willing to invest in a property to be a legacy property, and you're going to go buy a resort condo somewhere really nice, okay? Let's say you're one of those people. Maybe you do it a combination of financing and cash, but let's just say cash for right now. Instead of buying one in one market and having it 52 weeks a year, what if you bought 1/5 of five? So in other words, now you're in five different markets. If you take a 50-week year, because that's your inventory after maintenance, you know, a couple weeks off for maintenance, you've got 10 full weeks that are available to you as your share. You could use them a couple of weeks a year for your own purpose, and then you could rent it out the rest of the time. You and four other friends now would be able to all enjoy having a couple weeks a year plus income on all of these different properties in different marketplaces. That's the concept. That's a simple syndication.
Sure is.
And so when people hear these things and they think, oh, I don't have enough money to do it, the whole concept of syndication is to leverage other people's money in a win-win relationship. And that's just a simple example, and it made me think of it while we're talking about lifestyle properties, because you actually taught me how to do that one time and it was a great experience.
Absolutely. Well, that's, you know, a simple syndication. You know, you find a property that you love and you don't have enough money for it, who are your friends that might be in the same boat? So absolutely. So we're talking about lifestyle investing, and this is where you blur the line a little bit between pure ROI and something where the return comes from the time you spend there, the memories you create with your family, and so forth. So what you have to be careful of, and the sobering part of the message, is that many times we start looking at properties in Hawaii or in Vail, Colorado or in Florida, and we got all enamored of the market, and pretty soon the emotional part kicks in and the logical part can easily be oversold. And you mentioned timeshare earlier, and timeshare is not really even real estate. It's a prepaid vacation, which is better than not taking a vacation, but it's not usually an equity ownership. But those timeshare salespeople pull at those heartstrings, and that's what it's all about. So you just have to go armed when you go into a market to say it's got to make dollars and cents, and it's got to be a place that we'd enjoy. So how do you structure something like this? In many of the markets, there is financing available, but you should know that most financing for hotel and condominium and resort properties is not the same as you might get on a single family home. The rates are going to be higher. It may require more money down and those types of things.
Yeah, well, I mean, the way we have solved that problem in the past, assuming you've built up some equity in properties elsewhere, is you can refinance a property that has great financing available, cheap rates, long-term, lock them in, and then use the cash-out proceeds to pay cash for these other properties. And ultimately, it's the same as financing, but you're just putting up different collateral. It's a collateral shift, so that's a way to approach it too.
Yeah, absolutely. And it depends on the pricing, right? I mean, most of the higher, more exclusive, more affluent areas are going to have high price tags. That's not necessarily a bad thing. As we study vacation markets, there's a lot of vacation markets that are robust, where they have good durability of the rent, and they make a lot of sense, but it takes a lot of money to get in, so you just have to think about maybe syndication or financing. But the other part of it is there are markets that are very seasonal. So we talked about ski markets, right? And a ski market can be a very, very great investment in the winter. People pay a huge premium to be, you know, walking distance to the chairlift. But what happens, and maybe even in the summer it's nice, but what happens in those middle periods? So one of the things you have to do when you look at any resort property is decide how seasonal the market is.
Yeah, and it's like being in retail. Let's say, for example, you have a strip mall or something, and you know that your tenant's actually going to lose money a few months out of the year in the off season, but they make it all up during the holiday. And if you're on a rev share type deal, you know, one of these participatory lease type things, you have to look at the whole thing. And if you're a business person, which in this case we're talking about being a business person and owning a hotel or a hotel room or resort type property, you do have to look at it in the totality of the ownership. And then you have to be really good at managing cash flow. If this thing's throwing off positive cash in the good times, you know, like that proverbial ant, you got to put up something in the summer so you've got something in the winter.
Yep.
You just want to make sure that you're building up your reserves and you're just understanding the nature of the beast. The good news is you're not going in and blind. It's not like when you go to do this, you don't know what you're doing. It's just like when you go into any market, we say, if you're going to go into a real estate market you're not familiar with, don't look at properties, build relationships. And the people you want to build relationships with are the property managers. They really know the demographic. They really know the trends. They really know the inventory, and they really know the income. And you can get realistic numbers from those people because they're not trying to sell you anything. And so it's easy in resort property. You know, we've done this. You go in and you just shop like a consumer. You know, what does it cost to stay here? And you, if you watch it, and these days with the internet, it is so easy to figure out what seasonal pricing looks like and occupancies look like. And you can tell when people are offering free bonuses and giveaways in order to attract you, and other times where it's like, you know, the price is really high and they can't book you, they're sold out, and you get a feel for what's going on in any given marketplace that way.
Yeah, and one of the critical things, and I'm glad you brought up property management, is when you look at a resort property, you typically don't have a choice as who the resort manager is going to be. So a very important part of your due diligence in this type of property is to know who the developer is, who's behind them, what's their experience, who the management company is if it's different, what's their experience there, how does the split work, right? There's usually a split between the owner and the management company. You know, you think of a single family home where you might pay a 10% to a property manager. Here it's going to be more like 40-60, 40% to the manager because they're turning those rooms all the time, and 60% to the owner. But from your 60%, you're likely to pay the cost of property maintenance, and you're likely to pay insurance and any holding costs and utilities. So you just have to go and know and compare, and you know, don't be in a hurry. People get all excited about investment property. They get super excited about these resort kind of properties. Just go in with a cool head. You know, there's always time to think. And anytime a salesperson is like, listen, if you leave here, this deal expires, leave there.
Yeah, exactly. Today and today only. One other caveat, or one thing to be aware of when you're looking at these types of properties and you're doing your due diligence, you have to understand that in some cases, especially with major brands, they will not quote you ROI. They will not talk to you about it as an investment.
They can't.
It's because they can't. And so you have to understand, they're not being evasive because they're trying to hide something. They're trying to protect themselves because there are laws about investment marketing, and you may not be aware of them. Because if you go see a property manager in a regular real estate deal, or you know, you go look in an apartment building, the broker, of course, he's going to show you the pro forma. He's going to talk about the projected ROI. And now you're out looking at a resort property, and you're looking for that same type of information delivered to you through the salesman. You're not going to get it. You might not get it. And so just be aware, that doesn't mean there's something wrong. They're constrained just because of the nature of that particular business. And if you're not familiar, then you may misread what's going on.
Such a good point. You know, we do our discovery trip to Belize. We've done that now for 14 years, and we go look at a lot of different properties. Most of those properties are boutique properties that are a single owner, or an owner that owns a couple of different hotels, and they're happy to share that information. There's a particular resort we go to that they'll show you 3 years of operating history on the specific unit that the developers still has for sale. Well, that's awesome, but that's because they're not a brand. Then we'll go to the branded hotels, and someone will ask, now, what's the revenue split between management and the owner? And they'll say, we have to have a private conversation with you and our management team about that. And at first, like you say, people are like, well, that's kind of a hard answer. Well, it's just because these publicly traded international companies have to avoid blue sky and all of that. So what that means is it's up to you to figure it out. And it's fairly easy to put together a pro forma, but it just takes some knowledge and time and experience to go through that. But once you do, what you will find out is if you choose your market correctly, a market that is robust and not hung up in too much seasonality, and you choose a product that makes sense where there's a durability and the product will last and it's built well, then the returns can be fabulous. And let's just talk about metrics in a hotel. You're probably used to gross rent multiplier and cap rate and those kinds of things. And you can certainly determine a cap rate on a resort property. But there's a couple important terminologies. We talk about ADR. That's the average daily rate that's charged. Now, say you are in a seasonal market. You might have in December, you might get $800 a night. And in June, you might get $200 a night. Well, you have to factor that all in and come up with an average daily rate.
Well, then you have the dynamic pricing models. You might have that happening in the same weekend, depending on when you book.
Absolutely. Something else to ask, is it a rate card or is it dynamic pricing? Meaning the price changes as you get closer to the date. And that can have a huge effect. And you usually a positive effect on your income, so you want to ask about that. Then you have occupancy. Obviously, how often is the room occupied? Yeah, we get $1,000 a night, but we have 10% occupancy. Well, that's not going to work, right? So what's the occupancy? Then when you take those two things together, average daily rate and multiply by occupancy, you get something called RevPAR, or revenue per available room. That is one of the most important metrics in the resort business, is how much RevPAR is there. And the manager's job is to increase occupancy, increase rate when they can. But sometimes the best strategy is to lower the rate a little bit to get more occupancy. So it's kind of a balance. That's why you got to pick a great manager. And then what other costs are involved? So there may be other fees you're not used to seeing. So you want to ask about all that stuff. But certainly there are some great opportunities in resort property. In fact, when we come back, we're going to head to the other side of the country. As you know, if you heard us last week, we were in Florida. And while we were there, we got to stop at the Grove Resort. And you're going to meet our friend Nick Rohrbach. He's going to tell you about a pretty cool lifestyle investment there. Plus, we'll play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Hungry for more real estate investing ideas? Here's two steps you can take today. First, go to realestateguysradio.com and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get access to a continuous feed of thought-provoking commentary specifically for real estate investors, while also focusing on broader picture economics. Then, once you're at our site, look for the Resources tab, where you'll find our amazing collection of special reports. Browse dozens of white papers, webinars, and market reports, and request the ones that appeal to you. What are you waiting for? Head to realestateguysradio.com to implement education for effective action.
Hey, this is Gene from the Residential Assisted Living Academy. Making money, cash flow, is important. Doing it for the right reasons with a heart is even more important. If you'd like to learn more about turning a single family home into a cash flow machine, earning $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 net or more per month, well, I'd like to share that with you. Our motto is do good and do well. There is a silver tsunami of seniors coming, and you have a huge opportunity. Take advantage of it.
To gain access to an informational webinar presented by certified financial planner and real estate entrepreneur Gene Guarino, and discover how you can turn a nice home in a nice neighborhood into a cash flow machine, send an email to ALF, A-L-F, at realestateguysradio.com. That's A-L-F at realestateguysradio.com.
Hello, this is Dave Leniger, co-founder of RE/MAX International. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio show. Thanks for tuning into the program. It's not too early to get on the advance notice list for the 2020 Investor Summit at Sea. We're not taking registrations yet, but you can get on the advance notice list if you go to realestateguysradio.com and click on the button that says Summit at Sea. As soon as we open up the summit for registration, you'll be among the first to know. We're talking about lifestyle investing today, how you can turn a resort property into money and memories. Before we introduce you to our guest, it's time to play real estate trivia, your chance to win a prize by knowing today's real estate trivia question, which has something to do with the market we're about to visit. As soon as you hear the question and think you have a good guess, send your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Trivia at realestateguysradio.com. You want to include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address, because if you're the winner, we're going to get you a great book called Life-Defining Moments from Bold Thought Leaders. It's a collection of great stories from life coaches and business entrepreneurs and all kinds of cool people. That can be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week, we had Gene Gillen on the program from Central Florida. We asked this: how high above sea level is the highest natural point in the state of Florida? Well, the answer, Britton Hill is the highest natural point in the state of Florida, with a summit elevation of 345 feet above mean sea level. By the way, that's the lowest state high point in the U.S., and Britton Hall is located in northern Walton County near the town of Lakewood, Florida. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Speaking of Florida, you probably know that Florida grows a lot of stuff like sugarcane and oranges. Well, you may not know this. Florida is the number two state in the U.S. when it comes to production of strawberries. Which state ranks first in strawberries? That's our real estate trivia question. What's the number one state in the U.S. in production of strawberries? Florida's number two. If you know or just want to take a guess, send your best guess to trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Trivia at realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, the answer to the question, and your mailing address. If you're the winner, we're going to send you life-defining moments from bold thought leaders. That's today's real estate trivia question. We have now magically transported from Las Vegas, Nevada to Orlando, Florida, where we're here at the Grove Resort, a fabulous property that many folks consider a lifestyle investment. Please welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program, Mr. Nick Rohrbach. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Hey, Robert. Thanks for having me. Good.
It's good to see you. And since last time you were on the show, you've had a baby?
Yeah, a four-month-old son.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Best thing in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, it kind of fits into what we're talking about, because in many ways, when you invest in real estate that we consider a lifestyle investment, you're building memories, your kids are hanging out, you're doing cool stuff, and you're doing it in a place that instead of giving all the money to a hotel, it's your property. So you're here at the Grove, which is an amazing resort in Orlando. We actually did our Syndication Mentoring Club meetup here. You've got meeting facilities, you've got an amazing water park, and you're just a stone's throw from Disney. So you've got the kind of people that come here who are all about the lifestyle.
Absolutely. We've been open since March 10th of 2017, and we've just launched phase three, which is our last and final phase, 283 units. And I'm proud to say that we've just reached 500 sales, well, 13 shy of it, just about 500 sales over the last 3 years. So it's a milestone for the resort. The resort's doing phenomenal. And for any listener out there that has stayed with us, we thank you and we invite you back. So
yeah, well, we've certainly had a lot of folks come out and take a look at it. And one thing that's interesting, you know, we talked with Gene Gillen last week about Central Florida and about what's happening there and how about it's not just about the theme parks, but where you are here, you're really close to the mouse, right? The Magic Kingdom and Epcot and all that's just really close to here. And I think the thing you don't necessarily know if you don't come here is that the parks, not only is it a lot of money to attend, to go to the parks, but it takes a lot out of your family. Like all day long, you're pushing strollers, you're in the sun, you're having a great time, but you gotta have some downtime from that. And what's awesome about this resort is people can come here, they can go and they can spend the days they're gonna spend at theme parks. And then when the days they're here, it's not just some cheap motel, it's a really awesome place.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest amenities is our 7-acre, $18 million water park, two big water slides, 800-foot lazy river, massive, well, Flow Rider, that was $1.2 million. So you can really relax, take time off. It's included in the nightly rate. So that's what's going to make our occupancy higher than average. And average occupancies in the area range from 77.5% in all of Orlando. That's a reflection of our 75 million visitors that we had last year and only getting bigger. Next year, they're anticipating 100 million visitors.
Wow.
And we're just about to complete at the Orlando International Airport the new international terminal.
Yeah.
Multi-million dollar facility. So we have the most direct flights that come out of here, just launching one into China. So international market's very strong, domestic market's very strong. There's always a crane in Disney.
Yeah.
So everything's going very, very well.
Well, you think about it, the international traveler, I mean, there's a short list of places they want to visit. If you've ever been to the United States, you're going to want to see New York. You're going to see maybe San Francisco, and you're going to want to come to Orlando. There's so many things to do here. Plus, people come here as a result of the convention business. So you've got one of the largest convention centers, but also the hotel has convention space because that's an underserved area. It's not a huge convention hotel, so it doesn't feel like that, but it's got enough space that you can do events, weddings, family reunions. Talk about that part of the business.
Absolutely. So Orlando was number one in convention business next to Las Vegas. They trade spots back and forth all the time. But we have 8,000 square feet of convention space here. Beautiful wedding, you know, area, facility. Full staff on site that caters everything. Corporations, we're always packed for events like that, but which keeps our occupancy very diverse. So it's not just the vacation goer that we're attracting. We're also attracting those corporations that are having their events here in Central Florida. Not only are we 3.8 miles from the gates of Disney, but we also offer free transportation to Disney, but our suites here are all 2 and 3 bedroom condos.
Yeah.
1,300 to 1,600 square feet. So when a company has their corporate retreat here in our convention facilities, it's nice to bring the family and it's not a burden at all. So it's been a very attractive and very popular destination for companies like that.
Now, you know, people are hearing, well, oh my gosh, millions of dollars in the water park and the Flow Rider and the units are all big and beautiful. Gosh, the thing must be priced incredibly expensively. And it's certainly, you're not giving them away, but the value is great. And I think we have to tell part of the story because until you hear the story, it doesn't all make sense. Like, how could it make sense to deliver this kind of a product? But your developer, seasoned developer here in Florida, found an opportunity on a property that didn't make it over the line in the downturn. So they really were able to pick the place up for a song. Maybe talk about how that has created the scenario where the pricing is still really good.
Absolutely. So the previous developer built this property in 2007, 8, 9.
Yep.
In 2010, he owed $180 million on the property. Built it all. It's 7 stories tall, beautiful property, all poured concrete, top to bottom. So, you know, when you talk about hurricanes, out-of-state investors all the time bring it up. This is where my family and I came for the hurricane. But he owed $180 million on the property. 4 years later, after the bank was paying $200,000 a month just to keep up the property and the asset, BTI Partners, who I work for, they purchased the asset for $30 million.
Wow.
So it was a song. We're really the envy of the developers in the area. This whole west corridor, the west side of Disney, is the last developable area around Disney World. So it's just going gangbusters. It's a cat fight for all this land out here. So that's why I say we're the envy of the developers. If we were to rebuild this property, the units would have to sell for a lot more money.
Right.
So after we bought it for $30 million, they put another $130 million back into the property, added this world-class water park, 4-star spa. It's a 4-star property, but bars, restaurants, you know, lake activities, you name it. We can see the fireworks from Disney. So really, again, if we were to rebuild this property, it would have to be a lot more money for the units itself.
Yep, and so all the units, they weren't finished originally, most of them. So you've now gone through, and as you talk about this third phase, they're essentially brand new. They feel brand new. They're furnished well. They're big. They've got laundry facilities. Not that you came on vacation to do laundry, but, you know, you got kids and you have that. You don't have to send them off to get that done. A lot of food, not only on premise. You've got great food outlets here, but nearby. Families are, you know, got to stretch their vacationing dollar. But there's just so much to do here. It's overwhelming. Now, the part of lifestyle investing is, you got to figure out a place where you're going to go spend some time, but also there does need to be a financial return. So let's talk about that. You've got a developer that understands this part of the marketplace, and how does it work when an individual comes and buys in terms of how much they can use it? How does it work in the rental program? Let's talk about those things.
So I don't want to get too complicated, but right now we're offering a 10% guaranteed return off of the purchase price. So if you buy a $360,000 condo, that's 36 grand, divide by 12, it's 3 grand a month. You'll get deposited into your bank account automatically every month until January 2021. In addition, we're gonna pay the HOA until 2021. And the HOA, everyone asks, is $528 a month, but it includes everything, every single utility, electricity, cable, Wi-Fi, pest control, exterior building insurance, water and sewer, full-time security guard. All of that is included in the HOA. That's significant. Anytime you buy a short-term rental property, especially in the Orlando area, you do not want to get into a multiple management situation. So I think that's a big advantage that we offer as one management company, Benchmark Hospitality, that's been in business over 40 years, that has over 90 properties under management, over $4 billion in assets under management. So it's completely turnkey, full-size washer, dryer, silverware, pots, pans, blender, all those things are included in the unit whenever you purchase a condo here.
And yet it completely feels like a hotel. Beautiful front desk. You walk in. There's bell staff. I mean, it's a lot of service. And it really is. I'm glad you mentioned it in the HOA because you might initially think, well, that sounds like a lot. But it includes so much. And so let's talk about the strategy here, because the developer has an incentive. Why would they do that? Well, they've still got several hundred rooms left, and it's important that they have sales to be able to continue to rehab the units, get the whole thing sold, because once it's all sold, that's when you start to see the returns. When you're early in, yeah, the developer's going to do what they need to do to get people to come stay here, and it is busy right now, right? Middle of summer, super busy time to come come here. Orlando really is a year-round destination, and so you don't have to take the risk for the beginning part of the ownership. Why the developer is continuing to sell. There's guests here, the water park is full, but the mindset is, well, it's not really a fully performing or stabilized property. And so there's this incentive from the developer, which is great. And then once you get beyond that, now how does it work in terms of when I want to stay? Can I have an unlimited amount of time, or am I limited to how much time I can stay personally? And then how does the returns work, and just in terms of splits and those kinds of things?
So a couple things. During the lease back period, if you're a domestic investor out there with a credit score above 700, the typical returns on a monthly cash flow level are about $700 to $800 a month.
Okay.
That's what we're seeing, just based on the 10% guaranteed return and us paying the HOA.
Yep.
After 2021, you can use the condo at your discretion whenever you'd like. There's an online portal. You can block your condo, you know, for your discretion whenever you'd like to use it. No blackout dates or anything. After that, after 2021, you get 55% of the revenue. Okay, so that's a good portion.
Yep.
Standard model in the condo hotel world.
Yep.
One of the big things is our financing is very attractive here because of our stability and our track record. We've been open for over 2 years now, you know, maintaining a high occupancy, high performance level, but we've also sold just about 500 condos. So in order to provide attractive financing, that's what lenders require, certain requirements of a resort like that. So it's 20% down minimum. Rates are in the mid to high fives on a 30-year period. So it's an attractive financing product. After the lease back period of making that $700 to $800 a month, most investors at $230 a night at 80% occupancy are seeing about $400 a month cash flow.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, and that's going to depend on how the resort performs. But when you look at the market as a whole, we can really gauge, get a good gauge on our risk tolerance as an investor. Yeah. That's why we've been so successful and sold almost 500 units, is they see the strength of the market. Even in 2009, which is, I think, a good gauge on what the worst case scenario would be, occupancies didn't fall below 60% in this market. So, you know, even in the worst case scenario, investors are going to be okay. So that's, again, why we've seen so much success that we've had.
Well, you know, every day that goes by here, the risk becomes less. The first few folks that bought when there wasn't really great financing and there was such a huge undertaking on this big, massive, beautiful property, it could have gone either way, right? There was already a failed development there, so you could say, well, that could be risky. Now, fast forward to today, up and running, very successful, good feedback ratings on TripAdvisor. You've got people that are staying here, enjoying themselves, loving the water park, variety of restaurants, and lenders see that as a much more sure thing. Our lenders are concerned about the durability of the rent. So the model is proven out, which makes it, you know, an even less of a risk to a lender, and therefore that translates to less of a risk to the investor. There'll be someone who buys the last unit.
Right.
And that person's going to take the least amount of risk and probably have the least amount of upside. So let's talk about that side of it, because how has pricing gone over time? We're not going to look forward. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? But has the pricing inched up over time as you sold these units?
Yes, it has inched up, but not significantly enough where you've lost opportunity. I think now is a great window. You know, you're not outside of that window where you're too late. You know, we've only seen prices increase 15 or so percent since our launch in 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And now we're really starting to raise prices as the demand comes in.
Yeah.
So there's still a nice window of opportunity where we have 400 units left and we're raising prices monthly.
Well, and part, I think part of the thing there is that since the developer got in at such a good deal, it's not like they've just got to raise the prices as some folks do. And yet it is always about proof of concept. So a couple of years ago, it looked different before the hotel was open. Now that it's open, you've got guests enjoying the place. It's pretty obvious. And again, there's a lot you can't see on the radio, but the grounds are beautiful. Great workout fitness facility. There's just, you know, the bar's great. I mean, there's a lot of neat amenities here. And you could just come and enjoy your time here, but there's so many things to do in Florida as well. I think it's a good mix for folks that are looking for a place that feels nice, great, feels like home, big units, full kitchen, but at the same time is close to the things they want to do in Florida.
And really, Robert, on top of that, I think we're really undervalued in the marketplace as far as our nightly rate goes. Because of our stability, we're just now beginning to inch our nightly rates up. So we've really reached the point where we're able to do that with our occupancy at 100% now. I'm glad I was able to get you a room here.
Yeah.
But the nightly rates are now just starting to increase, and you're going to see that gradually over time.
Well, and understand the strategy here, right? Early on, you as a owner of a hotel room or of a hotel or as a developer, you have to do something to get the word out. It's not a place people are coming. So you start out, and one of the ways you do that is low rates. From the developer's point of view, better to have somebody staying there who comes and experiences it, test drives the restaurants, and you had peak guests staying here before the water park was open. So there's still beautiful pools and the lake and all that that's independent of the water park before that opened as a major feature. And so part of the reason the developer makes the incentive to investors is because they can keep the rate low artificially even right now while it's still in rehab and renovation. And then once it gets to that point where it really are market rates and you can drive the rate up, then it's only going to get better.
Two more things. One, I want to say that phase three that we've launched, now that all the construction is contained, when you enter the property, it's a beautiful entranceway. You do not experience any more construction or anything like that. So that was one thing that was affecting the nightly rate.
Yeah.
Now that's not going to be a discounted rate. Phase three is contained more so in the back of the property. So that's a big deal whenever we talk about nightly rate.
Yep.
Another huge benefit to investors is Benchmark. They have an on-site sales team. So we just had the Atlanta Braves stay here with us 2 months in a row.
Okay.
So they are here to, they're yield managers, if you will. Their only incentive is to maximize your nightly rate and revenue. They only take a percentage of it. It's not a minimum fee or monthly fee. So there's an on-site management company, a sales team that maximizes that. Secondly, this is really interesting. We just completed a study of the five most comparable properties, luxury hotels in the market,
yeah,
and what they're doing. Their average nightly rate is $281 for a hotel room, two beds, a TV, whatever. We got, you know, two and three bedroom suites here, flat screens on every room.
Screen porches that look out over the pool. I mean, it's really, really something to see. In fact, I'm going to recommend that if it sounds like it makes sense to consider that people come see it. I know people buy sight unseen. I'm just always a big proponent of kicking the dirt and coming here. And I mean, maybe there's some property you might, you know, pick up somewhere if it's raw land or something and you don't want to necessarily go see it. But you got to see the quality. It's almost doing an injustice to talk about it on the radio. But having stayed here several times, different times of year, staff's good. The food's good. I mean, it's really a lot. And that's part of this thing of lifestyle investing is a place you would go. Doesn't mean you couldn't be an absentee owner. You could say, well, I get that Central Florida's strong. I understand that, you know, Disney's huge. I'll buy a place there just because I think it's a good investment. But really, it's geared for the person that's going to come, bring the kids, bring the grandkids, come during a convention and stay at your own place instead of staying at a hotel. So there are a lot of, and when you blur the line like that, and that's part of the lifestyle investing thing, is you have to understand how much personal use do you think you'll use. And then if you'll use it, Are there other people that would use it? And that's really where the market is for overnight rentals. You've proven that up at many 100% occupied nights that the market's strong. Now it's just figuring out, having folks figure out, does this make sense for them and their personal investment philosophy?
Absolutely. So again, like Robert said, I highly encourage you to come visit me on site, stay with us. If you do that, we will offer $3,000 towards closing costs as a fly-and-buy program.
All right.
So come stay with us. Yes, you have to cover the cost for that. But if you do close and you do purchase, we will provide that additional $3,000 towards closing costs.
And you know what? If you decide it's not for you, well, it's probably money well spent and you would have enjoyed yourself. So that's super good stuff. We're in beautiful Florida. Gosh, 2 weeks in a row in Florida. Sounds like vacation to me. And we're talking with Nick about this whole lifestyle investing. And you know, for a lot of the folks that buy in a place like this, they aren't real estate investors thinking about where can I get the most bang for my buck or it's going to be coupon clipping. It really is more about the market, second home, having those memories. You know, we talk about a property that quote unquote washes its face, meaning you get to use it a few weeks out of the year, maybe a few different times. It makes enough money that it carries itself and it doesn't cost you anything out of pocket. That's just a different mindset than, well, I'm going to buy the cheapest thing I can find that's going to give me the absolute maximum return.
You hit it right on the head. I mean, in my perfect mindset, how can you go wrong? You're paying your mortgage balance down. You're breaking even, maybe making a little bit of money. Because in reality, $200 is not going to change your life per month.
Right.
But as long as we can cover our debt and use the property a couple times a year, that and take advantage of some of the upwards appreciation opportunity here, I mean, you really can't get anything better. You know, I want a condo in Winter Park, Colorado. That's really, you know, I love the snowboard.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm really looking at and dialing in on that lifestyle. And since I bought a condo at the Grove, I've realized that impact on it.
Well, that's a great point you bring up. When you decide you're going to be a proponent for lifestyle investing, it means you're going to pick a place you want to go, right? Some people like the snow, some people like the water, some people, you know, like the tourist attractions. So you find a place that you will go, but nothing says you can't own one here, one there, and the other.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
I've had several buyers that own in Winter Park. That's why I'm looking at Winter Park.
Okay.
But then they bought here. Obviously, there's a lot of reasons why you buy in Orlando, right next to Disney World. With kids and things, but that's exactly right. I mean, this is the joy you get out of arriving and opening that door of something you own whenever you are on vacation with your family. You can't beat that.
Well, I love the fact that you've got the incentives, because that does obviously lean towards the investor-minded person, but also to come kick the tires. So when we come back, you can find out exactly how you can come here and check out the place and see if it makes sense for you as a lifestyle investment. Nick, great to see you. Thanks for giving us an update and congrats on really amazing sales.
Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it.
You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from November 15th to 18th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 14 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful. The people are wonderful, and wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2018 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year is coming on strong. How does that translate to real estate investment? That's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize, including both long and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong and contracts are in English. And in Ambergris Key, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me November 15th through 18th in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet lots of local providers that will help educate you about the market so that you can follow up with them after the trip if the market is interesting to you. But that ball's in your court. You'll receive their contact details, but they won't receive yours unless you give it to them. You've heard about Believes in the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on events where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trip. Once you register, you'll get information about our group hotel rates as well as travel details. So join me in Belize November 15th through 18th. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under events. I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Garrett Sutton, Rich Dad's advisor. Remember, equity happens, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. Pretty cool to get around Nick Rohrbach and hear more about the Grove Resort.
Yeah, the Grove is beautiful. We've spent some time there. You've been there more than a couple of times, and the backstory on that thing is just amazing. And it just is a real testament to the resiliency of real estate and the creativity of real estate entrepreneurs and the opportunity for people who can see potential in difficult situations. Because ultimately, the appeal, although the property is fabulous, and it is, the appeal is the location and what the amenities, and these are amenities you can't put in. It's pretty hard to build a theme park. It's pretty hard to put in great weather, friendly environment, tax environment, just all the things going on right there. And you know, we talked about Las Vegas at the top of the show, and Las Vegas, the amenity is every other amenity. It's the Strip. Everybody's trying to be close to the Strip. But if you think about the way the geography in Orlando works out, it's different. It's spread out. And yes, you can try to be close, but there's not that much inventory is close. And so the location is great. And then they've built a really, really unique resort. In fact, they just popped up in the news recently.
Yeah, on June 28th at the Today Show, if you go to today.com, they have an article with the best family resorts in the U.S. And number three on their list of the 10 best resorts is the Grove Resort in Orlando, Florida. So, you know, if you're interested in this and learning more about the specific property, then Nick will be happy to talk to you. Just send an email to thegrove@realestateguysradio.com, thegrove@realestateguysradio.com. And again, that's not a free report. You'll get a lot of good information. That's specifically if you're interested in this. Bigger picture, though, is we're not here to talk about any one property or one marketplace. Your job as an investor is to figure out, does lifestyle investing fit into your personal investment philosophy? In addition to whatever you're doing in terms of apartments or assisted living or single family or agriculture, whatever it is, does it make sense for you to have a second home that can also pay you? And if so, then you start the research. And this can be fun. You know, when you're researching a couple of single family home markets, it can be fun. But when you're researching a couple of resort markets, well, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Come on, honey. Come on, kids. We're going to go do some due diligence over here in Orlando. And we've got to go check out the local amenities. And yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, obviously, resort property and lifestyle investing has been a big part of what we've been doing ever since you turned me on to it. And you started taking me on these cruises all the time in the Summit at Sea. And I began realizing there's a lot of beautiful places in the world and there's a lot of neat properties. I always had gone in with consumer mentality. And so even though I was an investor, even though I was an entrepreneur, business guy making money, whenever I looked at that side of things, I only saw expense. And even though I liked the experience, I didn't like spending the money on it because I don't like spending money. I like investing money.
Yeah.
And when you taught me how to combine the investing with the experience, it was like a whole world opened up to me. And then the idea that I can gain those experiences through those simple syndications we talked about at the top of the show, that I literally, without a whole lot of capital, just some hustle, could end up creating a really nice lifestyle with multiple markets. The thing about this particular market is it is not a Johnny come lately, right? It's a proven market. This is an absolute proven market. We covered it last week with Gene, just what's going on in other aspects of the economy with the Space Coast and all of that. On top of this giant tourism industry, this great influx of people coming in for a variety of different reasons. People may come in to do business because it's a large convention market and then say, boy, this was so great, I'm going to come back with my family and make it a vacation. So when you understand the dynamics of what drives occupancies and you can find a property with the right management team and the right set of amenities both on the property and around the property, you can really put together a winner. One thing I will say is when you're doing your financial analysis, don't forget to add into the mix the value of the personal use. So for example, if a property cost you, you know, I'm just going to use simple numbers to keep it simple. Let's say it cost you $100,000 and you're going to get $5,000 of value out of that, money you would have to pay at a third-party resort, but you get to stay at your own place for free, then that's a 5% return on your investment if you use it every year.
Right.
So just factor that in so that when you're looking at the total ROI, it needs to be responsible on a cash flow basis, but when you look at the total value to you and your family.
Well, that brings up such a good point. It's different strokes for different folks. And if there's a market that you like, maybe you're a particular enthusiast and there's a place you like to go, maybe there's a group of people that you like to hang out with, just open up your mind to the possibility of investing, not just for return, but for lifestyle. Hey, speaking of lifestyle, coming up in the next few weeks, we're going to come to you live from Belize. That's always fun. We'll see what's going on new in that market, a market that we love and follow. Also, we're going to check in with one of our regular markets and find out what's new. It's a market that's been pinched for inventory, but you're going to hear what our friend there has done to create new opportunity. And next week, it's Ask the Guys. Your questions are answers. If you have a question for the Real Estate Guys, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click Ask the Guys. Next week, you are our guest. We'll have lots of great questions. Until then, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723 extension 4. That's 888-489-7723 extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.